All right. We continue at 2:35 on the ticket from Mullen & Mullen Injury Law Firm, Ticket Stock 2025. Thanks to all the P1s who've come out the last couple of days. Thanks to all of our sponsors who have booths around the Plano Center. You have time to get out here and be a part of the Ask Me Anything and see some of the sports celebrities that we have out with us, including a man who played college football at TCU, a 12th round pick of the Dallas Cowboys who would go on to be a Super Bowl MVP in Super Bowl 30, the last time the Cowboys played in a Super Bowl. It's the great Larry Brown. How are you?
That's
number 24.
Okay.
Out of TCU.
Larry Brown.
Sign up and he's ready to go. And a part of the ticket team for a long time. Bob and Larry used to break down Cowboy games here on the ticket. So welcome back.
Man, it's always great to be here and love you guys. And I've seen some of the guys. I've seen Bob in a while. And Donnie here, my man here. So just great seeing everybody.
So when you walked off the field in Tempe that night, did you ever imagine it would be at least 31 years before the Cowboys would ever go back to a Super Bowl?
I would have lost everything I had in my life. If you would have told me it had been 30 years before we even got back to a championship game. So it's just really been unbelievable to see not having that level of success for that long.
And what's that ring you're wearing?
It's one of them. I forget what year it is. You get old,
he's forgotten what year it is.
Do you rotate those like pants?
No,
you just one day you just have one.
I'm not like Michael Irvin. I don't wear jewelry, so I don't have any gold and all that. So I only wear this for like events.
That was such an interesting season, and it almost went off the rails in Philadelphia,
right?
Where y'all didn't talk load left with Barry, did you?
No, we didn't.
We're gonna run the damn ball.
The load left play to Emmitt Smith went wrong twice, and Philadelphia took over. You lost that game, struggled through the end of the season, and then you came back to beat the Giants, and then all of a sudden, I can't remember who it was that did you a favor that beat San Francisco, and then y'all beat Arizona, so all of a sudden you had home field. It resulted in a Super Bowl championship, but if nothing else, it was... It's the thin line of the NFL, isn't it? That easily could have gone the other way.
It is, and, you know, for us, I think we wanted to see San Francisco. Obviously, you know, we had lost the championship game prior, and so you know, we really wanted to see them, but they ended up losing. And I think we got Green Bay and got home field advantage, and it got us there.
Man, 31 years ago. And then the game itself, Pittsburgh, you know, it had its way with Dallas in the 70s, and I don't know, maybe that was the mindset of us old-timers are thinking, oh, gosh, it's Pittsburgh again. But you were such a big part of it and what you guys did defensively, and you were a starter. It's all coming back now. Kevin Smith went down. Was that week one?
Well, yes. So interesting thing for it was Kevin and I was the starters before Deion got there.
That was before Deion was signed in mid-September.
Yeah. But even when Deion signed with us, he was playing baseball the first eight games. So he wasn't there half of the season.
I'd forgotten all about that. Yeah.
Anyway, so the plan was to kind of do a little more nickel when he got there, meet Kevin and Deion. And so then Kevin went down, and it kind of changed the plans there. But, yeah.
Larry, every time they show highlights from that last Super Bowl and they'll show your interception and they always show you running in slow motion. I just kind of want to know, did it feel like it was slow motion as you caught it and you're trying to take that thing back?
Look, it was slow motion because I caught it. So I had really bad hands. And so, you know, they throw that ball very hard. And so Emmitt gave me a nickname my rookie year. He called me Edward Scissorhands.
Okay.
So I used to try to catch the ball with my hands all the time. Michael Irvin came to me and said, look, dude, just catch the ball. You don't. That's the most important thing. You're not a receiver. It doesn't have to be pretty. So, you know, my focus was catching the ball. That was the hardest part, just to catch the ball. So when I got it, you know, you want to do something with it. Because it was very hard catching the balls.
What was that like playing on the other side of Deion?
It was great. Deion was so much fun, man. Like, and, you know, our huddle was very interesting. You know, Deion, Charles Haley, I couldn't even talk about the stuff they talked about in that huddle there. And it was very interesting, but it was fun. Deion made it fun, and he was a great competitor, and he kept you on your game. You know, you knew they weren't going to go at him that much, so you had to be prepared to make plays. And I think as a competitor, you want that. You can't be good if they don't come at you. And if they come at you and you make them pay for it, they have to make some decisions. So it was really fun having Deion because he made you step your level game up.
You know, when we talk about draft picks now, and now the draft only goes seven rounds, and that sixth round pick, that seventh round pick, they're always trying to fight to make the squad, and then you come in a round now that they don't even have anymore.
I was number 320.
Right. So what's your mindset as you're going in that first training camp, knowing you're a 12th round draft pick, and usually 12th rounders aren't making the team?
So I got lucky. I had a lot of luck fall my way. Number one, having a coach like Jimmy Johnson, who wanted to play the best player. The year I got drafted, even though I went the 12th round, I was the only defensive back they took. So I was the only new guy in the room. So I got all the attention, good and bad. And so I think that was a bonus to me. You know, had they drafted some guys in the second, third round, maybe I wouldn't have gotten those opportunities. But being the only rookie in the room, and a lot of the veteran guys didn't want to, you know, work or practice, you know, I ended up getting opportunities to show what I could do that I normally wouldn't have. So it ended up being a blessing.
Was it pretty evident early on that, yeah, I have the talent to make the team? Or were you one of the, you know, as they're telling everyone to get their playbook and come into the room and their cut down day, were you real nervous?
Nervous. So I'll tell you a quick story. When I got there, when you're not supposed to be on the team, you share a locker with four people.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Right. And your name is written in tape. So the guys that are going to be on the team have these beautiful nameplates. They have their own lockers. And so I asked the guy, you know, I was only 20 years old when I got drafted. I asked the trainer, I said, well, why are our names in tape? He said, so when you guys get cut, we can just, you know, throw it in the trash.
Right.
Make it easy. So so you had no idea whether or not you're going to make the team or not. Looking back, you know, now that I know a lot more, I'm a little wiser now, I realized they liked me more than I thought. Because I ended up breaking the starting lineup second game of my rookie season. So I was getting reps with the first team here, and I didn't know. I was just thought they were just putting me in. So looking back, I can tell now they liked me a little more than I thought.
How difficult was it for you? So you win the Super Bowl MVP, you win three Super Bowls immediately at the beginning of your career, and then you leave and you go to the Raiders. How hard was that to choose to leave that franchise that the Cowboys were at the time?
It was hard. It wasn't my choice. You know, sometimes these choices are made for you.
Yeah.
You know, at that time, Jerry was kind of emptying a lot of the guys. Ken Norton had left, Alvin Harper has left, Russell, myself. So he was making changes, and, you know, none of us wanted to leave, but those decisions were made for us. But, you know, we thought we could win five or six.
Yeah.
And so as he started to break things up, you know, those choices were not yours.
So we had Coach Switzer out here a couple hours
ago. Coach
Switz. See, and you mentioned you played for Jimmy as well.
Uh-huh.
What was it like playing for both of those guys? What was your relationship with each of them?
I love both of them, but they're night and day, you know. Jimmy may not remember who your mom's name is at all. Barry's going to ask you about your family. How's mom? How's dad? Jimmy, hey, that was a different. It's all about football. But he was a great coach, and I think they were both what you needed for the time. I always say, you know, Jimmy was up there to build it. Barry was up there to keep it going. So it was fun just seeing two iconic college coaches. And for me, I got recruited by both coaches out of high school. So to end up playing for Barry and Jimmy was pretty unique in that experience.
Did you ever get chewed out by Jimmy?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
What was that like?
I got chewed out. I was young. I was only 20 years old. And we're playing a team, and they're on like a 15-play drive. And I see that everybody's just gassing for air. And I call the timeout.
Oh, dear.
Oh, no.
Because they're going to walk in.
Right.
And so he says, he called me and said, don't you ever call the huddle. He said, it was a good decision, but don't you ever make that timeout. So, yeah, I got chewed out for it. But, like, Coach, they're dead. Like, they were breathing hard, all the D linemen. They're first and goal. Like, if I don't call this timeout, we're done. But he said, yeah, it was a great decision, but don't you call that timeout. So, yeah, we got chewed out plenty of times.
It's former Cowboy Larry Brown with us here at Mullen & Mullen Injury Law Firm Ticket Stock. So why has it been 31 years? You follow the team. What's going on with this thing?
It's been a lot of analysis, and, you know, I'm an armchair quarterback. I think it's more for me about the coach. When I kind of look at, you know, the last 15 years, you can arguably say that the Cowboys have had just as much talent as any team in the league. You know, Micah Parsons, CeeDee Lamb, Amari Cooper. You know, you had Ezekiel Elliott. You had a great line. I just think, you know, the coaches changed the culture. And we've had good coaches come through. I think Wade and a lot of guys and Jason. But have they been championship guys who know how to do that? And I'm not sure. So I don't think it's a talent issue.
You think that's the difference in the fine line we talked about? Everyone has talent. How do you get it to the next level?
How do you get it to the next level? And what does that culture looks like for your team? When I look at even Andy Reid was very successful at Philadelphia. Went to two Super Bowls, you know, couldn't get over the edge, but, you know, had talent there, and, you know, he's done it in Kansas City. But that, I think it's the culture, the coaches, their philosophy. Everybody points the finger at Jerry. And I don't think Jerry's calling plays. I don't think Jerry's managing games. So, you know, when you have the personnel to do it, you know, are you achieving? I think that falls back to the coaching and the staff. That's just my assessment.
Did you think? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was good. Do you think Jerry will allow the culture to change underneath him?
Well, I think great coaches are who they are, and they do what they do. I don't think they concede, and I don't think Jerry's bothering the head coaches at the level like play this guy or don't play this guy. I think the fair part is, Jerry, have I given you enough talent? Have I given you enough weapons? And I can say I believe, you know, when you think about these teams that Wade had, I mean, all of them, Jason won a couple of divisions, yeah. Wade won a couple of divisions, McCarthy won a couple of divisions. Why can't you get there? And I don't think it's always fair to say it's Jerry. Now, if it comes to personnel decisions, you can say, okay, where is he at on that? But CeeDee Lamb, Amari Cooper, Dez Bryant, Jason Witten, Ezekiel Elliott, all the guys that they've had, I think they've had just as much talent as anybody in the league.
So, Larry, I'm still doing the post-game show. After all those years after we were watching.
They still have a post-game show?
We're still doing it.
I still have you doing the post-game show. And they've all been in there watching a game with me, and it's probably a crazy experience. I just want everyone to know that Larry had me on my P's and Q's while we watched the game with Norm. I don't act like – I didn't act like I do now.
Oh, my God. If you ever watched a game, it just – I'd pay for it. I'd do it for free. Hit the norm. It's incredible.
It was a fun time. But Norm would get pretty intense, and you would too, as we're watching games. Like, you really get into it. Not as much as this cat over here to my left, but yeah, man, you would get into it, and knowing that you were, you know, I guess trying to
it's
trim
the standard.
On, you wanted them to see, you know, to
it's
do
the
well.
Standard. I think, you know, as a fan, I'm a fan of the game,
right?
And understanding what the Cowboys are, and I think Jimmy used to remind us of that all the time. You're not the Cowboys based on anything that you've done. You know, with Roger and Bob Lilly and the star, what it represents, not because of you. You know, it's what you guys do in creating your own legacy and your opportunities, and that's kind of was the standard. We understood that standard. You're walking on the backs of those guys. So it is frustrating, you know, for this amount of time. You think about who's been to Super Bowl since the Bengals, who's right. Arguably been one of the worst teams. Philly's been twice. San Francisco's been there with three different quarterbacks since the last time we've gone.
Carolina's been twice.
Philly's been with three different quarterbacks.
Yeah.
You know, Nick Foles, and they went with McNabb, and they went with Hurts. So when you really think about it, it is truly remarkable that all the teams that have been back, and we hadn't even been back to a championship game. So I do watch with a little intensity. I'm getting better. Not there yet, but I am getting better.
The other memory I have about Super Bowl 30, the morning show was out there, and covering you guys, and we would go to press conferences, and we would hear, yeah, after this, the Cowboys are going to go to practice, and there would be an offensive bus, a team bus, and then a limo for Dion and a limo for Michael.
Yep.
And at the time, we just thought, okay, that's just kind of how these guys – how insane was that, that there are such big personalities? What was that week like leading up to that
So interesting,
game?
Since I was hanging with Dion, I had a chance to ride in the limo.
Did you go in the limo?
I did. And so I remember a couple of reporters, I remember this very vividly, stopped Dion. He said, why do you guys need limos? And Dion being Dion, he said, that's what stars do. He said, we're stars. Stars ride in limos. As a matter of fact, I'm going to ask Jerry to move the team to Hollywood. So I said, I got a limo. I said, Dion. He said, hey, I give them what they want. You know, that's what he said. Like, why you do that? But it was fun. You know, like, I think guys like Dion, I know they're outrageous characters, but they made it fun. They made it relaxed.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'll tell you another Dion story. People don't know this. You guys are going to hear it the first time. So before 2 days before the game, I'm in a room. It's Emmett, Troy, Mike, and Dion. And I don't know how
the brain
I got
trust.
Brought up yeah. in this conversation. Dion's pissed off that Disney has not raised the money in 20 years for doing the Disney commercial. So he says, Troy, everybody in this room, if you win the MVP, you got to ask Disney, are they going to raise the money? And if they say no, we're not doing it. He's like, Troy, you in? Troy says, yes. Yeah. Say, Emmett, you're in. You know, Mike, in. I'm over there. Larry, yeah, whatever. I'm in. Yeah, I'm in. So I win the MVP, and they're all staring at me. And don't, kids, don't give in to peer pressure. The dumbest thing I did. So I asked Disney, are you guys going to raise the money? They said no. And I said, I can't do it. They started high-fiving me. So now I'm like, I should have did it. Why am I listening to you guys? How did I get drawn in that conversation? So I blame Deion Sanders for dragging me to a conversation that I never should have been a part of.
And you didn't get to do the commercial.
I didn't do it.
Oh,
I didn't do
man.
It.
Man.
I did,
wow.
I did not do it. Listening, giving into peer pressure.
Do you remember what the money was?
I didn't even know what they, I didn't even know they paid at all. That's a deal. Who knows that stuff? But Deion did, clearly, and it was on his mind. And I don't know how I got dragged into that conversation. So I still blame him. So I told him, he's taking me to Disney. He still hadn't done it. So when you see him,
yeah,
he still owes me a trip to Disney.
Right.
So as a former MVP, do you get invited to, like, I know they had the Super Bowls where they recognized the MVPs. Do they do that every single Super Bowl?
Every 10 years.
Oh, every 10 years. Okay.
Every 10 years. And so I think next year is the 60th.
Yeah.
So it's cool just seeing all the guys, you know, and have fun. And then what they do for us, you think I was intense watching it. We all watch, we go to the game, we watch it together. Oh, God, you think these guys are still playing? Ray Lewis, all these guys, like, dude, calm down, it's just a game.
Right.
They're going crazy. They're out there, you know, like.
You got to be careful around him, Super Bowl week.
Yeah. Watch it.
They're just uber but you know what?
Wow.
Okay.
He's a great player. He may still be intense and tackle you. So that's all I was talking about.
Okay. You do see why these guys are successful. They're so competitive.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
you
George.
See why. They've achieved the level of success that they've had.
Hey, get in a limo with me. No, I'm good. I'll
That's
walk.
Okay.
I'll take it. I was taking
limos with Ray Lewis.
He's talking to age. We didn't have Uber back then.
That has to be cool, though, that every 10 years you're in that room and it's that exclusive club of Super Bowl MVPs and you're right there watching the game with it.
Look, for me, I'm a fan of sports. So to sit up and talk to Freddie Biletnikoff and Larry Zonka and some of the guys that I grew up just idolizing. And, you know, Joe Montana, I know everybody, now it's Brady, but I'm just saying, for me, I'm an old school fan. So just to see all those guys, like, wow, just unbelievable.
Well, now it's old school to talk about the Super Bowl 30 champions, but we're sure glad you came out here.
It sounds too long ago. Man.
I know, so, yeah, 31
yeah.
years.
Yeah.
This is the great Larry Brown.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Super Bowl MVP of Super Bowl 30. Thanks, Larry. Appreciate it. All right, some more roundtables and good time fun coming up here from Plano.
Generic Patreon.